Hello, everybody. Ella J here on behalf of WrestleZone. And today I am joined by your NLW Women's Champion and one half of the gals, Anita Vaughn. How are you today?
Oh, that's me. How are we, LJ? I'm doing pretty good. Thank you for the lovely introduction there. Oh.
I am fantastic to be talking with you. Before we get into anything, I have to point out, I don't know if you realize there's kind of an irony in speaking with you today. I've interviewed your tag team partner, Debbie Keitel, twice for my original podcast, which was called A Wrestling Gal. So in a way, I feel like I'm an honorary gal, you know? So I feel like this was meant to happen. I'm just saying.
I think it's on like this manifesting thing. Maybe you manifested the gals in this weird way, but you are 100% honorary gal
Thank
up
you. I appreciate it. We'll
there.
obviously talk about your partnership there in a little bit. But before we get into wrestling, I wanted to talk about something I find really fascinating and admirable because, from what I understand, you're either working on or maybe you've already completed your PhD at this point. So, what
Yeah.
program slash degree are you currently pursuing for your PhD?
So, it's an interesting part of my life. I don't talk too much about it because it's always just it's something in the background, and I'm always questioning, should I drop out of this? So it is still ongoing, as any student thinks.
But you've come this far, you know?
We've got a year left. Let's stick it out. But it's in physical literacy. It's a really interesting area. It's about like kind of giving kids the skills, the knowledge, like how to be physically active for life. So like I do a lot of like testing with kids to check their movement skills, and like upskilling their coaches in like sports clubs to try and, improve their movement and make them more likely to be physically active for life. So that's the area. It's what I'm passionate about, as much as I am passionate about wrestling as well. So we're still working on it. It should hopefully come to a close. I've been at it for the last 4 years, so hopefully we're gonna aim for this year.
Yeah, you know that's such a specific and exciting field though, and you can clearly even see you just talking about it that you're very passionate about it. So I am curious, what is the particular motivation bus behind the pursuit of this particular degree, and when did you become interested in this field?
So like what I did for my undergrad in college, I trained to be a PE teacher originally. So I actually worked in schools as well for a while. I was a teacher, which is a fun fact about me. I wasn't very good at it, but I enjoyed like the theory behind it, and like getting to look at like sports and movement analysis and that kind of aspect of it. And then like I graduated during the pandemic, so like things were kind of crazy at the time, obviously. And one of my supervisors from college was offering like this studentship for it. So it was a research opportunity if anyone wanted to. I knew I didn't really want to be a teacher, so I started down that path, and it's brought me here. So it's pretty cool.
What is your ultimate goal once you have your PhD? I mean, technically, you would be doctor, I think, at that point. Would it I think that
It
might be your title. What
would,
is
yeah.
your goal? Obviously, wrestling is still going to remain a focus, but what is your goal after your degree? What is your goal in that area of your life?
I mean, it's hard because it's always changing. I
Yeah.
always wanted to kind of get into like kind of like physical literacy, like kind of policy development within Ireland. It's thinking quite big. It's just this new area of research in Ireland as well, and like there's like the governments are putting together like resources for schools and to kind of get in on that level and maybe develop resources, work with clubs. I don't know if there's a job for that. It's one of those like you have a PhD in something, try and make a career of it, but like I'd love to do something where like I could, like help develop resources, go into clubs, educate people, that kind of a thing in it. So maybe coach education, but it's hopefully the we'll get the degree finished first and then we'll see what happens.
Yeah, you know, you have that background. You always will have it in your back pocket. You are so close. So just keep trucking. You know, if you can graduate through a pandemic, you know, I think you can make it through your PhD for one more year, Anita.
I'm going to come back to this interview. All right. Well done, future Anita. You did your PhD. You stuck it out because LJ told you to. So we're going to reference this in 2025, hopefully.
Oh my God, 2025 doesn't even feel like a real year, dude. Like,
No. Not at
I'm
all.
still getting used to 2024. But with your, you were originally going for a PE teaching and now you're more so on the literacy side. What has been throughout your entire, collegiate academics, what has been the most fun course that you've taken, whether it's related to one of your programs or not?
Oh, the most fun one. I say I didn't like teaching, okay? But I actually, as part of our college degree, we did get to go out and like be teachers. So like we were on like teaching placement in a school, and I was teaching kind of high school age in my old school as well, which was really a weird experience being like kind of like on equal footing with my old teachers. But it was really fun. Like I was like 21 at the time, so I was like super young, but like it was a really fun time as well. Like kind of getting out and like your first time actually trying to be a teacher and like, okay, I'm 21, I'm an adult now. Like how do you, and when you're teaching, you have to be seen as that like person who's in control. And I kind of liked it as well because there's like an element of performance to teaching. Like any teachers out there probably know that, like, you have to go into a class and be entertaining or be, the center of attention for 40 minutes and like not lose people's focus. And how do you, motivate people? And like I taught French as well as PE, so like I had like the two subjects, so I was like doing both, but I found it like it was such a challenge, but it was super fun. And then I feel like that then kind of helped my wrestling, like in a weird way, it kind of helped it. But that would have been, yeah, doing the placement, getting to be a teacher for a while was kind of fun before I tried it as a career.
Yeah, you've dipped your toe in a few different careers and potential careers in the future with literacy, with teaching, with wrestling. I know you found wrestling at a bit of an older age at 18, 19, but thinking back to your childhood self, maybe it was teaching. What did your childhood self envision the older version of Anita doing for a living when she got older?
I think I had dreams of doing like something professional in sports or something in performance. So we see where this is going. But like I always played like loads of sports growing up. Like I did like soccer. I did like kind of like Irish sports that were there. I can feel my camera tilting. For anyone watching at home, this has been an ongoing thing where my camera likes to from time to time, but we're gonna keep it on track. But what I wanted to be was maybe I was thinking like, okay, could I make it as a professional soccer player? Could I make it as an actor or something like that? Now, the avenues for that in Ireland in like the 2010s weren't huge. So like I kind of just was looking at sports as a way into a career. And I think that's what kind of led me to PE teaching. But it's funny how things work out then like that. It would eventually lead me to professional wrestling.
And you kind of perfectly segue because I wanted to talk about a few of that athletic background. I've seen you say you only did jujitsu for a few weeks. So can you tell me more about this brief background with jujitsu and I guess what drove you away from it?
I took up jiu-jitsu. I was one of those people, so like I was starting to get in a routine of training and professional wrestling properly, and I was getting good momentum with that. And then I saw like an ad like come up on my Instagram, and it was for like a local jiu-jitsu like team or club. And I was like, that looks really interesting. And like with wrestling, like I've always found like kind of the grappling part really interesting. And like in the school I train in, my factory, like a lot of the guys are kind of, they have like a legit background in it as well. So it's always kind of fascinated me. I was like, I wonder, could I just do this? They were offering a beginner's program. That's what the ad was. And it lured me in. I was signed up for it because I was just like, why not? Like it's post-pandemic, like you could do anything. I signed up for it and I loved it. Like I legit would go. I was like, I was sacrificing professional wrestling training sessions to go to jujitsu because I was getting so into it and I was learning something new every day. Now, like you're getting your ass kicked. Anyone who like joins it like straight away, like you're just learning that way for a long time. So I did it. I think I'll say a generous 3 months I got out of it, but it was just the time management. Like I felt like that was the only reason I had to step away. Like the club I was part of was amazing, and I sent them like a really nice message at the end, just being like, "No, I'm just leaving. It's because I can't keep up with everything." But I had an amazing experience. They ran like women's only classes as well, like so they were super inclusive, and I had so much fun. I made so many great friends. But it was just like when you try to do like the PhD work and training and traveling and shows and things like that, and the gym and your own life, like it just, it was one thing too many for me.
Yeah,
But
especially on your body too as well. You know, I have to imagine that conditioning from like football and martial arts. I know you did Taekwondo. There's a different level with conditioning and training versus wrestling. So, can you talk about some of the biggest differences you've seen between your training and conditioning in those versus wrestling, besides time management? I mean, of course, too.
I feel like there's just so much more variety in what you do in professional wrestling compared to like when I was training, and I trained in Taekwondo for a longer, like maybe like 4 or 5 years. So it was a bit more longer, it was a bit more longer than the jiu-jitsu phase that I went through. But that kind of seemed like when I did Taekwondo, it was a lot of like repetition, a lot of the same warm-ups, a lot of the same drills. You're training with the same people, and like, your aim is always like, okay, I need to get a better specific kick. I need to get a better specific like combo going or something, or learn that pattern. But with professional wrestling, it's so, there's so much that like, I feel like, you can repeat and repeat and repeat the same physical activities with like something like any other physical sport. But because wrestling is so vary, like, you could be training like sunset flips one day, or bumps, or rolls, or body control, or suplexes, or grappling. Like, there's so many avenues to it that, like, that's kind of what it almost demands more of you physically. And like, the cardio is different, and you have to kind of make it look like, it's not affecting you. Like, you're so tired during the match, and obviously, you have to have good cardio, and you have to still be portraying a character, still be entertaining. On top of that, whereas, when I was just like, competing in martial arts, like, you can just go for it, like, and not worry about, your facials or your timing or whatever, but yeah, that's the beauty again of professional wrestling, is that there's so much to it. You never get bored.
There is so much to it, and especially in something that you've obviously been wrestling for a few years now, but you're always evolving and always training and wanting to aim to keep progressing. But some of the times it can be a bit of a challenge, I know. So what would you say, that time management, with your jiu-jitsu was one of them, but what would you say are some of the biggest challenges you've faced along your journey so far?
In professional wrestling,
Yes.
I think it's like it's always having to push yourself. I mean, wrestling can be scary sometimes. And it's just like, for me anyway, I mean, some people get in the ring and they have no fear, and they can switch their brain off, and they can do amazing things instantly. For me, I suppose I'm more of a thinker. Maybe I come from that background of like, okay, I know this is a dangerous move, and I know like injuries from sports. And like,
Yeah.
if I was PE teaching, I'd be like, do not do a flip on in, like, don't do that. But I think it's like, pushing yourself to a limit where like you can switch your brain off, and like, maybe pull off a move that's a bit risky, or try something new that you haven't before, and not being afraid to like mess something up. Because I think a lot of the challenges, yes, it's quite physical, but it's quite mental as well. And like for me, maybe more than the physical aspect, that's something like I've had to kind of continuously remind myself like to work on that as well. Like, so maybe just kind of having to like push myself mentally more than anything,
Yeah, and on that same wavelength, kind of mentally, I remember seeing a post of you saying that when you turned 24, you felt down because you, quote, hadn't made it in wrestling yet and felt the time was ticking, especially with being a woman in a male-dominated industry. It's been almost 3 years since you made that post. So do you still feel that same way? And how do you combat those moments of doubt like that?
That's I forgot I even posted that. And if I could go back, like, I'm 26 now, but if I could go back and tell like, was a 24-year-old me, like,
Yes.
I'd be like, it's so much changes, so much happens in such a short, period of time. And like, looking back then, it was like I had this idea of where I should be, and I think it was coupled with the pandemic, fear that everyone was having, where I was like, oh my God, I was 21 yesterday, why am I in my mid-20s now? And like, obviously everyone had that same experience of like, just being a different age all of a sudden in society. Like, it's I think back then I had an idea that I'd be happy if I, made it. And what's making it in wrestling, being on TV or having a contract or something like that. And I think because I kind of started wrestling so late, well, I mean, what's late? It wasn't late. It was like the perfect age for me. But it was just, not being happy or not, just thinking that like I'm going to be happy when. But now in myself, I feel a lot more reassured, and I'd love to go back and tell myself like you should be happy where you are in that moment. And everyone has their own journey, and whether that's 16, 17, or whether it's like 34, 35, it can be anything. Because right now, like I'm the happiest I've ever been. I not that I want anything to change. I'm super content where I am. And I suppose it's just about being grateful and happy for what you have in the moment and enjoying the process and enjoying each day rather than thinking like, I have to get signed, I have to do this, I have to do that, I have to have this many matches, this many followers, but I know I'm a lot happier now, but it's a good thing that I've kind of aged interesting this way, because maybe, when you're younger, you don't have that. I suppose I didn't have that same emotional maturity back then, for sure.
Though, but you talk about this growth that you've had, and a lot of that does come with age and maturity, not only in wrestling but in life. So, in what other ways do you think you've grown as a person and as a competitor throughout your time in wrestling so far?
Probably just in enjoying the moment a bit more. I think when you start off doing anything, when I started, I was super nervous. Like I'd be go about to go through the curtains and I'd just be like so wired. I'd be like, oh my God, I can't do this, I can't do this, so nervous. And then like even when I'd finish the match, I'd be like, was that okay? Was everything, like I'd be panicking about it. I couldn't just enjoy it, even if it went super well. So definitely in the last year, I would say, which is still not a long time. I feel like I've figured out kind of how for me to kind of relax myself and take in those moments. And it's come from working with people like Debbie, who'd be like, would you just enjoy the moment, because
Yeah.
she's feeled all my nervous energy and she's like, relax, like you got this, like drink in the experience while you're here. Like it only happens once. Go through those curtains, soak it in, and like just enjoy it, because wrestling is supposed to be fun. So like that would be one thing that's changed a lot for me. And I don't know if people can tell when you're having more fun, or they can tell when you're more relaxed, but it's just the whole thing is just like I love wrestling now. And getting to perform every show, like it's like obviously I still feel nervous, because you probably should feel a bit of nerves, because you want to do well, you want to impress, and
Yeah.
you don't mess up. But that nice balance of like, okay, I'm excited for it, but I'm not like, panicking.
And part of that growth too is also not only kind of figuring out like what you want to do in the ring, but it's also your character and your identity and your presentation. So, can you talk about the process of developing yourself from a character standpoint and who kind of this present day Anita is?
Yeah, like it's cool, because I feel like you're a product of the people around you,
Yes.
definitely. As much as people say like, oh, it's your character turned up to 100, like I'm quite influenced by the people around me, and I'm lucky to have good people. I'm with the Saviors of Destiny, so it's Owen Richards and Andy Steele, the guys. I kind of tacked myself onto their gimmick and then kind of made it my own thing as well, and we became our own thing as a trio. So the guys were in this tag team, doing kind of like a save gimmick, where that will save people's lives, change your destiny, a motivational speaker gimmick. And then like I'd jump in and I'd be like the high energy one, whether it was like heel or face, and not turning them comedy, but giving them a different side.
Yeah.
With Debbie, then it was kind of getting to play off, like I think you want to talk about character development, like obviously Debbie's gone through so many characters and
Yes.
reinvented her, and it's kind of reassuring to me, like you don't have to be the one thing, you can be whatever is needed, you can be whatever you want. And now I get to play off with Debbie and the gals, where like I'm a bit more myself, like just like turned up, and it's so fun getting to play off her as well and getting to play off people. Yeah, like a lot of character developments. I mean, yes, for some people will come in sitting down and writing promos and writing backgrounds on your character, and why does my character wrestle? But for me, it's like you really find out who your character is in like how you bounce off of other people, or like how do you react to things in the ring, or like when you're cutting your promos and stuff. So, I mean, that's kind of how I've developed it. And like, is my character one thing now? Is Anita Vaughn one thing? Probably not. Like if I'm in WXW, it's like this high energy, like
Yeah.
let go, like gym bro kind of a gimmick, like whatever. And then if I'm a heel with the Saviors, it's a bit more like kind of a like a cocky, like arrogant little like almost like Conor McGregor movements, that kind of a thing. But like that's the fun part, is like getting to develop your character through like stories and interacting with people, for sure.
Has Debbie made you a coffee enthusiast yet?
I swear I didn't drink this much coffee before I knew her. I'm on a solid like 4 to 5 cups a day. I was like a 2 coffee a day girl for a long time. But I don't know, is it the wrestling or the Debbie effect? It could be, maybe they both happen. We'd have to check the
I
stats.
mean, if you want to go off, maybe it's a coincidence, maybe it's not, but if you've seen your drinkage increase, I don't know if drinkage is consumption, sorry. If you've seen your consumption increase, the correlation to Debbie, I mean, it's possible. I know she loves her coffee, so I had to ask.
No, time spent with Debbie is positively associated with coffee consumption, for sure.
Yes,
Seem to
that's
bring
a
it back to the
correlation.
PhD
That
staff.
That's pretty much guaranteed. But like you said, Debbie is definitely taking you under her wing. She's obviously a veteran at this point now. What Tell me about some things you've particularly learned from either working with her or just being around her.
Well, the big thing was like to enjoy the moment, like I was kind of
Yeah.
saying. So like when yes when you talk about someone taking you under their wing, like she when I first met her, I was so nervous. Like I was really like unsure of myself, even in training. I was like, oh, I don't know, was that okay, was that okay, like super self-conscious. So not just in like learning from her performance wise, but learning from her like personally. And like she's like, it's okay, like you can mess up, it's fine, like have fun with it. And she was teaching me that wrestling can be fun as well. From a professional standpoint, I think like she was always someone like who set the benchmark quite high in not just Irish wrestling but like European wrestling. How you present yourself, your social media game, your promo, your image, like all this. Like I've learned a lot from her in that sense. And like like how, when should you post on social media and things like that. Like she's been around a long time in the scene, and like it's only a good thing to learn from her, you know?
Well, let's talk about the UK scene, because I know one of your big goals right now is especially to test yourself by wrestling the best in the UK scene. So I'm curious to know, which competitors do you consider to be the best of the UK right now?
There's a lot out there. I mean, who comes to mind immediately? You've got Rio, Progress, ICW Women's Champion. You have Nina Samuels, who's holds countless titles across the UK. Alex Windsor, someone
Windsor.
I'd love to wrestle. I feel like I've wrestled Danny Luna. I'd love to wrestle her again. You've got Kanji. Like there's so many, like any of these women, like, because the UK scene is so experienced, I suppose, even in comparison with the Irish women's scene, that like you could just take your pick. All these women are someone I'd love to wrestle, and someone I could learn something from as well. And like that's like those are a few names, but it really could be anyone.
Yeah, and like you said, you've wrestled not only across Europe, but I've seen you make your way to Canada before as well. You've wrestled in several different countries: Poland, Germany, Canada, Belgium, England, and of course Ireland. So I have to imagine that obviously, you want to test yourself in the UK, but you're probably also eager to expand your resume even more. So what are some locations and countries you're hoping to travel to perhaps in 2024 and beyond?
Yeah, so yeah, for sure. 2024 for me was like, okay, let me do some bits in the UK. Let me figure that out, because I need to like really break into that scene. And then 2025, I mean, fingers crossed, and like the plans with the PhD finished,
Yes.
I would love to travel to the US, whether it's for training, whether if it's for performing. Like that's what I would love to do. It would be like a shame for me, like if I was to go through my wrestling career and not do something there at some point. excuse me. Maybe Japan as well. Like I know, like, but again, that's its own thing then. Like it's its own huge challenge. But there'd be two main countries. Like, yeah, to go to the US or go to Japan, that would be insane. I feel like I've in Europe, like, I mean, is there a few there's a few countries, of course, I haven't done. Like I haven't done Wales, I haven't done France, Spain. Like, these countries I could pick up a lot, not pick up along the way, but I'd love to try. They're a little closer to home. But something that would really push me would be like, like a proper, like a minimum 8 hour flight. Let's go.
Yeah, it's it. I mean, you've been on long flights. Actually, I don't know, because from what I hear, Europe, the flights seem to be a bit shorter. I don't know though. I don't live there, so.
I mean, if my flight is longer than 2.5 hours, like it's a long flight.
Fair
Like, I
enough.
mean, Germany for me is 2 hours. Like, going over to London is like not even an hour. Like, everything is quite close. But yeah, if I was to go to the States, I mean, that's a while. It's a trip. Japan trip.
A flight itself, again, one country, different states, though. If you're saying going from New York to like LA, I want to say it's like 4 hours, maybe five,
Oh,
depending.
good.
And you would probably also have multiple layovers, though, so it'd be even longer. So that's all.
Amazing.
That's just a heads up if you're going specifically from like across the states. But final question, as you're now we're talking about looking forward, but I want to look back for a moment. Tell me about a particular match of yours that stands out to you that you feel particularly proud of and why.
Oh wow. If I could go super recent, I mean there's loads of matches that I'm like, okay, like this has been like every match I feel like I'm learning something. And especially in like the last 6 months, I feel like there's been a lot of matches that I've been, I've given the opportunity to do them and they've like elevated me straight away or like pushed me to like do more. One from this weekend was at Carrot Weekend for 16 Carats for WXW. I end up in a random tag team with Oscar, who some people might know from New Japan. And I get there on the day and like I'm expecting to be doing something else. And they're like, oh, okay, you've got a match tonight against Axel Tischer and Muto. And I was like, Axel Tischer, like former WWE wrestler, like, okay, let's go. Like already the tag team stuff was crazy, but then getting to, I suppose, get that opportunity to get in and wrestle him. And like talk about learning something from someone, like just like if from talking to him before the match, talking to him during the match and afterwards, like I felt like I went on a complete like learning course. Like it was crazy. And even for myself, just to know that like, yeah, like you can lock in, you can do those matches, like you're well able. And like it's just crazy. Like, I mean, if I again, if I could show that to me from 2 years ago, tweeting like, oh God, I didn't make it, whatever. Like the moments that I had this weekend, getting to do that match, the growth I feel, how happy I feel doing them, like that would be, yeah. So if anyone wants to watch it, it's on WXW now. It's on their YouTube channel. There's a great wrestling from that weekend as well, but that match in particular, I just feel like I needed to unlock like another mental level. It was like, okay, we're here now. We're doing this.
Yeah. What are, you obviously said that was a great learning opportunity for you. What are some things that you learned or took away from Carrot Weekend specifically?
I think it's just like going with the flow a lot of the time. Like you never know what's gonna happen in wrestling, and like nothing was more true than this Carrot Weekend, because like I mean you come over, you're a part of the show, but things change and they're changing for everyone, like not just me. So it's like a learning to just whatever happens happens. Don't worry about it. Don't think too much about like, oh, this match is definitely happening, because no, it could switch and change last minute, and that's okay. And like for me, for someone who would have been really like panicky before, just to like learn that like, oh yeah, like things change, that's showbiz, whatever. And that like it all works out in the end and everything happens for a reason and all that kind of that stuff. That's one thing I took away from this weekend for sure.
Didn't you also wrestle like, I want to say like five matches over the weekend? Four or five?
Yeah, it was Thursday, Friday. Yeah, like five or six in the time I was over, and it was,
Yeah.
we don't have that many shows in Ireland, so like to get to do that much, like I came home on the Monday and I was just like, please let me go to bed, and then
Yeah.
this hit me, and then we're here now, so.
Yeah. Well, it's a t that's a test for the future, It's a test, you keep wanting to test yourself against the best, and some of that comes with endurance and strength, and you keep growing, so
Yeah.
one test down, a bunch more to go, but that's the thrill of wrestling. And before we let you go, Anita, can you please share where the listeners can find you online?
Ah yes, so I am on Twitter slash X at I'm Anita Vaughn. So it's just I am Anita Vaughn. I'm on Instagram with the same handle at I'm Anita Vaughn. I don't have a Facebook, but I'm fairly active on the Instagram and the Twitter, so you can find me there. And yeah.
Thank you for calling it Twitter and not X, by the way, because it's still
Yeah,
Twitter to me,
I
damn
went
it.
X. Like, I mean, we all joined it when we were like 16, right? Like, so I'm not gonna
Yes.
change it
Yes,
now.
exactly. Well, Anita, thank you so much for joining me here today. It's been an absolute pleasure, and I am very honored to be an honorable gal. It
Of
is honestly
course,
such an honor.
forever.
Thank
Just
you
me,
so
you, and Debbie.
much.